Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is good, Lord, to be here. Greetings to you from the President of Concordia Theological Seminary, the Reverend Dr. Lawrence Rast, and greetings to you as well. It is good to be here, Lord. I'm not your pastor. Who is this guy? I'm a representative of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is my position at the seminary to go around to congregations in Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee and thank people like you, congregations like this, who support the seminary and the production of young men and women who go out as pastors and deaconesses in the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel in a nutshell, which we received this morning, if you know any verses in Scripture, you've got to know the last two, or at least the second to last one here. God so loved the world. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great gospel? We used to see it at the end of the football fields in the end zones, John 3:16. And right before that, how could it get any better? Trinity Sunday, and we get to proclaim the Athanasian Creed. Isn't that great? Yeah. That's that real long one, isn't it? Yes, it is. But you know, as a construction guy, I worked in construction for 25 years before I became a pastor and got a better boss. I remember always thinking about crazy, you know, as an engineer, what the contract might have looked like for the Empire State Building. Can you imagine two guys walking up to each other and one guy says, I need this bigger than 100-story building. I need it to be built in 18 months. I need it to be built so fast that you're building more than one story a day. I need it to be built so fast that the iron is still hot on the beams as they're being unloaded from the trucks. And the other guy says, okay, and here's the amount. And they shake hands. And the Empire State Building is built. It probably wasn't that way. But we can all remember a time, or at least maybe anecdotally from our grandparents or others, where we could say, I need something, and we shook hands. And that something was an honorable thing to promise. A handshake was honorable. But now as we move along through time, we see contracts get thicker. Watching a recent bid on a bridge in New York City, I saw that the contract and the drawings and the specification, the little rule books that the contractor had to sign were all in U-Haul trucks. There were so many contract documents. Why does that happen? Well, ironically, how do we get from St. Peter, you are the Christ, to the Athanasian Creed? How does that expansion happen that we have to be so exacting? What happens over time? At one point, somebody shook a hand and somebody didn't deliver. You said you wanted a horse. Yeah, I wanted a workhorse. I didn't want a Shetland pony. Somebody said, well, there's three gods, aren't they? The Trinity doesn't really exist, does it? Because you're talking about three gods. Well, we look in Scripture, in the Old Testament, it even says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. We know that explicitly, that we talk of a Trinity, but we know there is only one God. Yeah, but okay, so that's like water, right? It's like ice, and it's water, and it's steam. Well, not really. That doesn't hold up. And all analogies for Scripture never seem to quite hold up. Well, it's like math. One times one times one is one. But yeah, but three ones are one one, and one one is not three ones, and there you get the Athanasian Creed. It's because over time, our Christian doctrine, the Christian word of the Bible, is attacked by men, by the devil, and this world. And so saying what is from Scriptures is not the way that our world wants to address things anymore. And so we confess our creeds. And creed is really a Latin term for I believe. Well, we have three creeds that we confess: the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, which we express usually once a year on Trinity Sunday. We have Trinity Sunday to remember that there are three gods, but there are only one God, and so on. To great detail, because of the attacks and the machinations by man who have made it so that we can't have a simple contract handshake like St. Thomas, who didn't believe that the Lord had been risen. And then when he finally met the Lord, he said, "My Lord and my God." You could have been out of here, right? We could have just had St. Thomas. We could already be eating lunch. We could be there before the Methodist. We could be at the restaurant and having lunch, or on the way to the lake, or on the way up north, or getting those hamburgers and hot dogs ready for a Memorial Day weekend. We could already be there if we just said that one short confession. But we are precise. We are in a world that is so imprecise. We have a world that attacks the gospel of Jesus Christ every single minute of every single day. But the good news is, if we have to live in a world that despises our Lord and does not know about our Lord, the good news of that is we can shout out the gospel of Jesus Christ in any direction to just about any person, and a person that's never heard the gospel will hear it. And because of what Christ has done, because God sent His Son into this world to be our salvation, because the Holy Spirit continues to let us hear the gospel of our Lord, we are also called by the gospel to proclaim that to our neighbors, to our friends. Yes, and even to that cousin or uncle or brother or that one person that you really despise or despises you. You all know who that person is because you've got somebody in mind. Don't lie to me. We all have that person. Sometimes we've got to realize it's us too. But we all have people who need to hear the gospel. We proclaim the gospel not to just to friends, but to enemies. And the gospel has many enemies in this world. The gospel of this world wants us to proclaim what is right in its own eyes, and read that into the gospel, the word of Christ, the Scriptures, and wants to change the Scriptures so that it meets the levels and ideals of what's happening in this world. It's hard to be in the church militant, where we are able to say, "I don't know. Well, what does the Scripture say?" Not, "Well, this is, have you ever heard this? I don't know what the Bible says, but I believe." Or, "I only believe in the red letters of the Bible." Or, "I don't know. But it seems that God would be a lot more loving than that." Well, each one of those instances, we throw away the Trinity and we make one God in ourselves. "I don't know what God says, but I believe." You've just turned yourself into God. "I believe the red letters, but not the black letters." Well, then you've come up against Jesus Christ Himself, who said, "All of these are written about me." And so you change the very word of God as proclaimed by Jesus himself. Even as the world says that Jonah is a story, Christ proclaims that and says the world will only see a sign as the sign like of Jonah. So how can you only believe in the red letters? How can you only believe in the gospel as you have in your mind and of the world? It's much easier, that's why. It's much easier to have a short creed than it is to have an Athanasian creed of life. It's much easier to say, I don't know, or that's just what you believe, and not stand up and defend the gospel as written and handed to us by the apostles themselves who witnessed Christ. All of it is true. All of it is written in Scripture, is unerring. It is our gospel. The Scriptures reflect the Trinity. It's very simple. It's simplicity in mystery. But this world does not like mystery. How can three be one and one be three? You can't explain it yourself. And you know what? That's okay. I believe it. It's just like our Holy Supper of our Lord, Holy Communion, Thanksgiving to our Lord, the Eucharist. How can you believe that that is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus said so. Is means is. This is my body. This is my blood. And that's good enough for me. But most Christian religions and denominations want to add on to that. Well, let me explain what that means. That means you must accept it into your heart. No. The faith which you have is also a free gift of God. As we hear in Ephesians chapter 2. The faith and the grace are both gifts of God. Your faith comes as a gift to you through the working of the Holy Spirit. So even the faith that you have is free. It's not of your own doing. And sometimes I like to explain it, and you know, as I said before, all analogies fall apart. But when we talk about faith in the Trinity, and someone says, yeah, but I've got to believe before God can come into my heart, I say, well, do this for me and stop exactly when I say. Say, I believe. And they say, and I say, stop. Did you notice what you just did? Before you could say you believe, air came into your lungs to fill your lungs for you to say, I believe. It is the same way with the Holy Spirit. Before you can say, I believe, the Holy Spirit has already put the breath of life into you. You've already received your faith. And even though you think you're the producer of your belief, it was still given to you. You heard the gospel of the Lord, and then you can say, I believe. It's a free gift of God. How great is that? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then by that working, by that free gift of God, you are called to proclaim that to everyone whom you meet, whether it's in a shopping line, whether it's whether you're a butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, no matter where you are, you proclaim that gospel to all who are around you. Because you know what? If getting to heaven is a race, it's a race that we want to tie. We want all people to be in heaven. It doesn't matter if we get there first or last, but it matters that all people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and arrive in God's heavenly home. And that is what God desires. Yes, we have a long Athanasian creed, and yes, we only say it once per year. But we all live in the same fallen world that challenges us with more complicated, long sayings that we memorize, even more so than the Athanasian Creed. And we thank all the faithful martyrs that have gone before us in the faith, people who have died for the faith, not just for the creed of Peter or St. Thomas, but people who have died throughout the years defending our faith, even as we see it in our days today, as we see these people who go abroad and are martyred for the faith of Jesus Christ. And on this weekend, we especially thank God for those service people that have gone before us so that we may live in a free country, willing and able to proclaim our freedom to other nations of the world and those people that have died before us to help keep us free, to be able to worship as we will in the true faith of Jesus Christ. And we thank all those people who have gone before us. It has been said that we were enemies of God, yet He still sent Jesus Christ. God's most precious possession for the sake of us who are His enemies in our sin. We had gone astray and we were unaware of our great affliction and even less in search of help. But God came to our aid without our desiring it. We had fled from Him, but He has called us back. This must indeed be a great love. His beloved Son came into the world, suffered death for our sins, gave us His Father's perfect obedience, and was lifted up upon a wooden cross, just like the brass serpent that we heard in the Old Testament, and there obtained the forgiveness of sins, the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal bliss, and thus the lost treasure has been restored. God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. And not just in Southern terms, you or you all, but the personal you, you individually, each one of you. His love is so deep that His Son died for you. The Trinity is complete devotion of you. For God in three persons. It is perfection in simplicity and simplicity in mystery. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the God that has loved you so much that He will deliver you into His eternal presence. And that is no mystery. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.